Everything is connected, and I'm here to tell you how. I'm Dr. Laura Hansen with Connect My Brain. This podcast is for moms who are concerned about their child's development. The brain impacts our mind, body, and overall health. I explain how your brain is wired, what happens when it's out of balance, and how early childhood development not only impacts your child, but can affect you as an adult years later. Want to know how to improve your life? Join me and learn about your amazing brain and what it can do for you. Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Laura with Connect My Brain. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are working on exploring what I like to call the triangle of development. This is a core part of our program here at Connect My Brain. Years ago, remember, I'm now in my 29th year of practice. I cannot believe that. But early on, you know, I started off as a traditional chiropractor. But one of the most interesting cases that I have to say, because I know I've talked about it before, but one of the most interesting cases that I think was a pivotal step in navigating the direction that I have taken was a little girl that came into my office. And every time she heard my voice, she would scream. And of course, made me a little self-conscious, but it also intrigued me. I was like, what is that all about? And I've always been a why person. So why do you do this? And also a what person? Well, what came before that? That's always been my style. So back in that early year, first year of practice, my office was not a place that I entertained anyone. My office had a put together desk. And I had books everywhere. But I was so intrigued by this little person. She also couldn't take a traditional chiropractic adjustment. She couldn't even have what you call an activator or an instrument tool. Even that noise bothered her. And she also was quite sensitive to touch. And again, it really intrigued me. And so I really took a deep dive to try to understand what's going on with hearing that would make this child respond the way that she did. So I started off with tuning forks. And one of the very first things that I learned about hearing was when you come into this world, while you are fully formed, you're not fully functioning. Your hearing is only with, I mean, all your architect is there, but you can only perceive low frequency sound. Now, in the previous podcast, we really focused on the eyes. The triangle of development incorporates the function of circuitry between the vestibular system, the oculomotor system, and auditory or hearing. So, us humans, we can hear over 20,000 different frequencies. But when you're born, you're only able to take in the low ones. And I really think that's God's way of making a baby have an easy transition into the world, just like the pupils being small to only let in low light. So we're bringing a baby into the world in a very comfortable manner. Now, interesting, we acquire the middle and the high frequencies by age 3. Wow. Okay. So we've talked about developmental windows before, but just to kind of highlight, anything that is firing together is wiring together. Okay. So during these first 3 years of life, there is so much going on for this little baby. I would look at year one like your transition year. So you got all your hardware in the womb, and now you got to be birthed, and you got to come out, and you got to be able to interact with your world. So that is the development of your sensory motor system. So what's going on in the womb is all these reflexes. And yes, you can start to use your senses, but there's a timeline that's giving us an understanding that my eyes come on board by, are starting to come on board by the fourth week of pregnancy. The ears are starting to come on board the 16th week of pregnancy. Babies can hear sounds like their mother's heartbeat. They can hear the sounds of their digestive tract. So things start in the womb, but when you arrive, there's another timeline. So your vision at birth is 2400, and you can only hear low frequency sound at birth. And then the first 10 weeks of postnatal life, your eyes are changing, getting closer to 20/20, and your hearing is over 3 years to organize what's called the membrane analyzer inside of the cochlear, which is this super duper little structure behind the drum deep into the ear. And all of that sound is being laid down. I love the part about sound. So in your mind's eye, see like a labyrinthine. That's what the shape of the cochlear is. And on that labyrinth thing, so that we go either from the widest point, making a circle all the way into the middle. So on the very outside part of the big part of the circle, that's where sound is picking up the low frequency. And then over 3 years, the rest of the sound is being laid down on the cochlear, like a keyboard of a piano. And that low frequency sound is going to end up being all the way tucked in to where the circle keeps going in and in to that most finite point, with the rest of sound outlined on the cochlear analyzer. I mean, the majesty of our development, It just continues to keep me in a state of awe, how there's so much that we do know, and there's still so much that we don't know. And I just treasure the uniqueness of how things come together in order for us as humans to function. And one of the reasons that I'm putting these three podcasts together, eyes, ears, vestibular, not only do they have what I call neurological intimacy, but they're pivotal in the foundation of a child. And so many kids have things going on with their eyes, like we discussed last time. And they could have something going on with hearing. And those two, eyes and ears, they actually share a nerve. So the eyes are the superior colliculus, and the ear is the inferior colliculus. They share neurological communication. So the point of that is, if one is off, the other can be off. And early in practice, I would find this. So when I did my early assessments, especially in honor of that little girl that I started with, I learned how to assess hearing in chiropractic school with using tuning forks. And so I would use a 512 hertz, which represents low frequency, one low frequency, a 1024, which is one middle range, and then a 2048, which is one high frequency. Now, this is not the most objective test on the planet, but it opened my eyes and it gave me an understanding. So we look at a couple of cranial nerve tests called Weber's and Rhine's in order if I'm placing the tuning fork first at the top of the head and then timing bone and air conduction to give us a sense of organization of the perception of sound. And so even though it's not the most objective test, it gave me a little bit of insight. And I began to add this. So if we think of this little girl responding like she was hearing too much. And so too much, but also certain frequencies were more irritating than others. So if I whispered, she was okay. But if I spoke in the tone that I'm speaking now, she was not okay. It was too much sound. Think of kids. This might sound like your child, always covering their ears. They're hearing too much. I could do the Weber's and Rhine's test, and some of these kids, especially when you were on air conduction, trying to time it, it would go on and on, like a minute or two. And typically these things last for just, you know, maybe 15 to 30 seconds. So imagine this child is like hearing dog whistles out there. So the point of explaining this is, for me, as I would look at this child clinically, it really began to show me, how can I pay attention if I hear too much, I hear too little, or certain frequencies really irritate me? Or maybe my first 3 years of life, I was plagued with ear infections. So, sidebar, gut develops up till age 2, immune system age 3. Laying down all your auditory frequencies is up to age 3. Look at these developmental windows. What fires together wires together. If I have chronic ear infections and I am taking antibiotics, I am really wreaking havoc on my gut, and I am changing the viscosity or the flow of what's called endolymph fluid in my vestibular system, which I will highlight next time, I could be changing the perception of sound. Next, we add some ear tubes to the equation. Now I've got scar tissue on my tympanic membrane after they fall out, but I am changing the process. And the reason we put ear tubes in is because we're seeing chronic fluid behind the tympanic membrane. And instead of working with the body's innate ability to clear out lymph tissue, we're putting in an apparatus to attempt to do it instead of the body doing it. Chiropractic has probably earned its fame outside of low back pain in the world of ear infections. Let me add a couple of minutes on that before we keep going in the auditory world. You have an abundance of lymph tissue in your neck, and lymph tissue is embedded in muscle. And muscle is attached to the bone. And the muscle must be able to freely move, contract, relax, in order to pump the lymph tissue. Now, back in the podcast on eyes, I talked about cranial distortions. The same thing is true for the ear. The hole that's in your ear literally is a hole that is on the outside of your cranial vault, your skull. And it's on the temporal lobe bone. So the temporal lobe is surrounding the ear. It's the auditory connection. And there is literally a hole on the skull, and your ear blooms out from there. So if you have cranial distortions, meaning maybe the baby got stuck in the womb, maybe an instrument was used. Maybe I had one case years ago, probably 27, 28 years ago. I remember rubbing this kid's head, and I got to the back of his head, and literally my hand fell into this concaved bone position. And when I got the history, mom had a fibroid tumor. And when the baby developed, the fibroid tumor was right at the side and the back of the head. So literally bone will form wherever the stress is. And so where that baby was laying, it literally, the fibroid tumor pushed into their skull bones. Now, if you've got something like that, the structure of your ear could have been impacted, let alone the muscles that attach to the skull, they're not going to move as expected. Then most ear infections are viral. They're not bacterial. So constantly giving antibiotics for these things, we're only wreaking havoc. Now, I am not a medical basher, and I am not saying don't ever have medicine. But unfortunately, we do not create a culture for every potential bacterial issue. If they would do that, I'd have no problem with it, because then you would know what the person would need. But we're constantly just giving out broad spectrum antibiotics, and our kids are getting sicker all the time. Okay, we'll save that for another discussion. Let's go back to the ear. So your ear will be influenced by the structure of your cranium. It will also be influencing how different lymph tissue is going to work so that we can keep the ear nice and clean. But if we have these things in our history, then there's the potential for hearing distortion. Okay? Now, there's another part to this. Here's the maturation. Let's first highlight a few of the key elements of development for the ear and sound and hearing, not just the structure, but actual hearing. Okay. So baby most of the time can hear mama's voice and mama's sounds better than anything, but men have lower tones than women. Therefore, babies can actually hear men more than women. Okay. So let's look at the inner ear development is by 5 weeks of pregnancy. So it's 1 week after the eyeballs. The middle ear, this is where we have a lot of neurological connection, 8 weeks of pregnancy. The ear-brain connection, around 12 weeks of pregnancy, specialized sound transmitters called hair cells spring up inside the cochlea and eventually connect to a nerve that sends sound impulses to the brain. This connection is made at about 16 weeks when your baby may start to hear faint sounds. The ears are fully formed between 32 and 35 weeks. Birth, when babies are born, they can already respond to rhythm of language. They recognize stress, pace, and the rise and fall of pitch. I remember one time I was watching some videos on baby development, and I saw this piece of research, and the baby had a passy in its mouth, and they were literally using the rhythm of the sucking reflex. Remember, we talked about the sucking reflex even in vision. Fire together, wire together. Okay. Keep that in mind. It's very important. and they would play various voices over a speaker. And they literally would measure the rhythm and speed of the baby's suck. And every time the baby heard somebody else's voice, they sucked, but it wasn't the same. When they heard mama's voice, the rhythm and the speed completely changed. Wow, I just find that incredibly fascinating. At 4 months, infants can distinguish between language sounds and other noises. For instance, they know the difference between the spoken word and maybe the sound like clapping your hands, running the vacuum, etc. By 6 months, this is important. This is communication. Babies begin to babble and coo. Now, I find this very interesting because it's way before 6 months. In fact, what I want to do, I want to share this because when I always like to do a little bit of research and make sure, you know, I get my timelines of things correct. But this is the developmental milestone chart that I actually developed. So we will put a link in our show notes, Marcy, because it's right on the website. But let's see if we can even make a better, easy connection for everybody. I want you to realize babies are making cooing sounds by 7 weeks. Here's communication right here. Okay. 7 weeks, babies are making cooing sounds. They're actually the vowel sounds. So it's the ah, the e, ha, oo. And then by 3 months, they're starting to laugh. By 5 months, it's a one syllable. By 8 months, it's a two syllable. And by 12 months, it's 2 to 3 words. And I really want you to see the difference. First piece of information was talking about communication as late as 6 months. I think hopefully you've listened to another one of my podcasts where I'll talk about it at the end, but I'm so passionate about the development of children and things not going haywire and paying attention to the earliest sign and getting your child evaluated by somebody like me who knows development. I've been doing this. I'm on my 29th year because it's these early signs. The earlier that we get in there, our children have a much better chance of turning things around if something isn't going the way it's supposed to go. That reference of 6 months is what the CDC has done. They have changed the timeline for when our children should be doing their developmental milestones. We are normalizing developmental delay. Please don't wait until your baby is 6 months for you to say, oh, great, now my baby's cooing. What is the number one issue that we have heard repetitively about either autism or some kind of developmental delay? The highlight has been delay in language. We know at 7 weeks, babies should be making their vowel sounds. Pay attention to that, share this information, and download Dr. Hansen's developmental milestone guideline. You will see through here that there are all types of markers of what your child should be doing and when they should be doing it. It is so important that we pay attention to the development of our children. Okay, so let's get back to the ear part. So remember what I was talking about was this little girl that would come into my office. She was always so taken back by my voice, some frequency creating irritability. So that means not only oculomotor disruption can lead to emotional stress, but so can auditory discrepancies. So we talked about doing the bone air conduction test. Another one at the top of the head for lateralization is sound going more to one ear over the other. Now, I have definitely spoken about lateralization many times, but I think it's always important to look at. Your child by age 4 should be demonstrating a preference of dominance. And it matters that the eye, ear, hand, and foot are all on one side. Now, make me a promise, don't try to force your child to go a particular way. Rather, watch. Always be observing. If things are not going the right way, that's when you need to reach out to Connect My Brain. We want to make sure that our children are going through the sequence as expected. So this is something I've been looking at forever. What is your dominance? So if that eye or that ear is on a different side than the hand and the foot, that's called mixed laterality. You can do your own search. Mixed laterality or lateralization issues has absolutely been associated with children that are having trouble paying attention because there's mismatch of information going into the brain. So we're talking about ears, so let's highlight that one. So I want you to imagine I'm testing a kid and I see we got a right eye, a right hand, a right foot, but we got a left ear. And I start looking at air and bone conduction, lateralization of sound. And then I start explaining this to the parent and I ask them, do you feel like you have to repeat things to your child? Do you feel like your child has a delayed response when he's given or she's given a direction? And what we would typically think is that the child would act, right? Well, if your dominant ear is on the opposite side of what the brain thinks it should have for organization, there is a slight delay in them actually perceiving whatever was said. If it's going in on the left and it thought it should have gotten set up on the right, it's got to go over there. It's got to go over there for the perception. Then it always goes to the opposite side for decoding. Have you ever heard yourself on your cell phone? Like you'll say something and then you'll hear yourself repeat it. I use that example. That's sometimes what it's like for a child who did not get organized correctly. And that means that we're not getting sensory match. We're not getting sensory match with the eyes. We're not getting sensory match with the ears. And that leads to anxiety, fretting, worry, etc. Let alone think about what they go through in the classroom. The teacher might say, hey, Johnny, go put your paper in the bin. Johnny's standing there trying to figure out, okay, she's saying something. It's going through my brain. Okay. And then he's not moving fast enough. So she turns around and goes, hey, go put your paper. Now the kid is stressed, got deer in the headlights. I didn't do something right. And hear this. This is such an important part. Children do not have a point of reference to tell you, hey, when you say something and then you turn around and say it again, I hadn't even finished processing what you had said to me to begin with. That does not happen. We have to know how to look at the development of the child in order to make sure that where the struggle is being demonstrated, what is actually happening in their neurology that is causing the mismatch. Now, when we talk about neurology, sometimes that just sounds like, you know, the big word. We're talking about the brain. We're talking about seizure, stroke, and no. Okay. That's not the type of neurology. Can I see somebody post-stroke? Sure. But what I'm talking about is functional neurology. What really makes you and I work every single day. Let me ask you this. I'll throw a little pearl in there for the adults listening. Anybody struggling with tinnitus? Tinnitus is ringing in the ears. Now, there's a lot of speculation about where tinnitus comes from, but it is really quite annoying. And I can tell you, I've heard more complaints about tinnitus ever since we've put in 5G. You have to remember, we still have 1G, 3G, and 5G. And what's happening is we're actually getting a perception of sound in our brain, but it is irritating and it can lead to so many other early degenerative changes in the brain. It is so important to keep brain health at the forefront of your mind, because this is what's going to help us as we get older. But for our children, they need somebody to pay attention to it because they're trying to get wired up. If you're wired up and you wanted to work on something for your auditory system, you had the foundation laid down. If you did certain types of neurological stimulations or maybe oxygenation of the brain, you can change this perception of tinnitus, especially because your information about how sound was developed happened. But if this is going on in a child's world, the areas that are being impacted while their brains are wide open for development are going to have far lasting impact. The timing of developmental progression is key when we are looking at all the labels that children are being hit with. If you had an infection during your pregnancy, that is when your baby's brain was actually being developed. If your baby at least came out of the womb vaginally and got exposed to mom's immune system, and we developed correctly and then had some type of regression, it is a totally different story than the timeline of when it happened while the baby was in the womb. So it's really important, don't wait. If you are suspecting a problem, act on it. Early on in my clinical career, I could pick up all the time, wow, this kid, they don't move right. So that's the vestibular system. We're going to get into that one next time. Wow, just when I was doing typical eye movements, wow, they really cannot move their eyes properly. They don't converge symmetrically. Then doing the tuning fork test. And I would work these individual parts all the time. Around 2012, I actually developed a piece of medical equipment that I call the triangle of development. It is a 10-hour program coordinating the circuitry of the eyes, ears, and the vestibular system. It's 2 hours a day, 5 days in a row. Yes, that's intensive. If we're going to change the brain requires real time. It requires intensity and frequency. And this is why I want you to be very cautious about anybody trying to push you to do something very, very quickly. Children crash easily. Many years ago, parents would come to me and say, I just want to get these heavy metals out of my kid. and they had been doing ongoing suppository therapy. And what really is the end result of that was the child was being pushed too fast, too soon. If we do not make sure that we have optimal physiological fuel chemistry in order to help us get rid of toxins, things can leak back in. If we have a nervous system that's demonstrating premature or primitive states, and we try to push it out of the timeline too quickly or enter into the timeline at the wrong time, we can cause so much stress on that child that they can get stuck somewhere else. These are delicate little beings, and they need a critical eye to look at them in order to know what is the right next step to take. Here at Connect My Brain, that is our passion. We look at every single child individually, and our goal is to be the last place that you have to go to get your child's childhood back on track. We really encourage you to go and look at our website. If you have a question, feel free to send it in. Make sure you check out the eSchool. We've been putting together an app since before Christmas. We're almost done, but we've added some new tools because I've gotten some great feedback from moms just like you or dads just like you. And what we found was our parent and professional development memberships are a deep dive, and they may not be the right first step. So what we've decided is we've added what we call the jumpstart. You know, a lot of the primitive reflex exercises, the body postures that you have to get into to practice these require core control. And if a child does not have that, you're kind of just going through the motions. So what we've decided is to put our Fantastic Seven into your jumpstart program. These are seven core exercises that are designed to follow the developmental progression that every child should go through, allowing that child to put together head writing, trunk control, and coordination of the trunk with the arms and the legs. We encourage you to go take a look at that. It'll be ready to roll very soon, but you can go preview it now. We hope that you got some pearls out of this particular podcast. Be sure and share this. Our children are a target right now, and they need parents to be watching after them. And if here at Connect My Brain, whatever we can do to support you in that journey, we are here for you. Thanks for tuning in, and be blessed. Thanks for listening. I hope today's lesson will help you or someone you love. Do you have a question or just really want to talk to somebody about brains? Connect with me over on Facebook or Instagram at Connect My Brain. Looking to understand and optimize your particular brain? Check out connectmybrain.com. for course information and resources. A special thanks to Marcy Page for producing this episode. See you next class.